You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space, a monthly podcast of artist talks, panel discussions, and other events.
Kia ora. My name is Jamie Hanton, and I'm the director of the Physics Room, a contemporary art space dedicated to developing and promoting contemporary art and critical discourse in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Based in Central Christchurch since 1996, we assist artists with resources and opportunities to achieve a higher level of professional and creative development and encourage a greater acknowledgement, understanding and value of contemporary art among New Zealanders. Our goal is to actively seek links between the arts and other areas of cultural production and to involve art as a contributing voice in wider intellectual, social and political debate. We are very proud to present Art Not Science, a monthly podcast that showcases events and exhibitions at the Physics Room. Our first episode features an artist talk with Tuafale Tanuai, recorded in the gallery on the 11th of July, about her exhibition Spontaneous Intentionality, as well as music chosen by Tuafale to accompany the exhibition. Please see our program page on the Plains FM website for a full track listing. Tuafale Tanuai, aka Linda T, is a Samoan heritage artist based in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. Using video, photography and DJing, her practice documents and shares community stories, generating a living archive. Her kaupapa has been described as one that is based on koha, often made with and gifted back to the communities she engages with. She has also worked with various organizations from community to government-led initiatives with a special interest in Pacific women's health and youth work. Tuafale received a Master's in Art and Design from AUT University after establishing a career in local radio, TV and short film. She is widely recognized for her contributions to small communities in Aotearoa through her rigorous and uncompromising chronology as a documenter since the early 1980s. Spontaneous Intentionality includes work created during Tuafale's time as the 2019 University of Canterbury Macmillan Brown Centre for Pacific Studies Artist in Residence, as well as archival work from over the last 20 years. The exhibition runs until Sunday, 4th August at our Worcester Boulevard gallery space.
So Tuafale, I just wondered if you could tell us kind of what's on each screen, if you could just run us through each screen, just really briefly.
Okay, so the two, screen one and two behind me on the main wall, shot here in studio at the hut at UC. Anything that you can see with the blue pattern background, that was shot here, so new, obviously. I didn't put them all on the same two screens because I thought, I wanted to highlight local people more than anything else, because that's one of the reasons, that was part of my proposal when I applied for the residency. So surprised I got it. TV3, Memories of Metatamita, who was one of my, well, I can't call her a mentor, but someone that I was a fan of. But we did spend some time together, spontaneous time together, it was great. So, but she guided through emails and conversations that we, rare ones, because lots of people wanted to spend time with her, and she wasn't. She didn't have a lot of time for, you know, being hero worshipped by thousands of people. So yeah, I would sort of see an opportunity and have a conversation, or found out she was sick one weekend when we were meant to have travelled up north, and so I'd go over with some healing, whatever, and then hang out for like 3 hours and get her to like talk me through my, at the time I was doing my master's. So she basically said to me in a hour-long conversation, she kind of said, after I gave her my abstract, blah, blah, she basically called me a dummy in 10 different nice ways. All of this is wrong. Don't you understand what you're writing about? And I'm like, I just thought it sounded flash. She goes, that's the opposite to what you do. And, you know, so her and her gentle way of speaking, because she did basically give me a growling in a simple, really nice way. And I was thinking, how great. I'm around this wonderful person who helps people all around the world. And, you know, there she was giving me really good sound advice. So, of course, everything changed after that in terms of the wording, and you know, so I learnt just that one session, you know.
And when was that?
That was, I don't know, the up north film festival. Anyway, they haven't had many, so we were meant to travel up together for that one. I forget the name of the neighbourhood, somewhere famous in the Bay of Islands. Anyway, so I just chose three pieces of my Memories of Merita documentary, which is presently playing up at Pātaka. Because I just thought Merita's film, that was the documentary made by his sons travelling the world, travelling Aotearoa as well, thank goodness. And lots of positive comments about people had no idea that was her body of work, you know, and it's just a snippet of her body of work. James is one of my crew. She's been, or he or they, have been part of my support team since 2015, when I met her at an art collective function to do with Guinness World Record with my dance art club thing. Anyway, she became someone that was interested in assisting, learning more around artists, because she was one herself, still doing university. Louise here is someone who's multi-talented, so having her sit on my set is such a privilege, thank you. So we met each other on a bus on the way to Wairoa Film Festival a few years ago. She's Māori Samoan, has spent heaps of time in Hawaii. I just thought, far out, you're just walking gold, you know, so in terms of her experiences. So having someone like Lou, James, any of my friends just pop in, is just, you know, I just think, oh, he's a magic walking, so sit in front of my camera, yeah, you know, kind of stuff. So, yeah, so because lots of us are into supporting other artists. Robin and I, that's one of my best friends. So I just found out last night after our dinner when I got home that we're grandmothers. So her number two son's just given birth to our first grandchild, so I was super excited, and I thought, I'm meant to be sleeping so I can be awake and not hungover for this. You know, so, but yeah, we went last year, actually a year ago, we were travelling the States and, creating a project called Chasing Chaka, which is, Chaka Khan is one of my favourite musicians that I've been playing as a DJ since the 70s, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to go find her, perform, you know, and see her live. So we went to New Orleans and caught Queen Latifah was the other person who's part of my top 10. She's my favourite hip-hop artist from the 90s. So she happened to be playing at Essence last year. So Essence is a national gathering for black women, but anyone can go, it's a public thing. And if you've seen Girl Trip, you know about it. So tons of different artists from all over America turn up, and people buy tickets for constant concerts, and they have panels and people chatting about black issues relative to women. And yeah, it was such a cool thing to go find Queen Latifah on a panel and on a stage doing her thing. But she ended up curating people like Missy Elliott, Xscape, you know, like a ton of R&B artists, you know, that people know from the 90s. So that was like, what a bonus. But the night before was Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, and people like that, you know, and the Roots. Yeah, so the shows were like curated by these really cool, famous as R&B hip-hop artists from the States. So if you're into music, black music, that was the place to be. Sunday night happened to have Janet Jackson for 2 hours. I mean, we were like, oh, we couldn't believe that we had like the best seats. She was a mile away. The stage was a mile that way. And there's 500 plus thousand people in the stadium. It was just incredible. And we had our little gadgets working, and it was just unforgettable and well worth the effort. Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. So we're talking about cruising around America and seeing Janelle Monáe, who's sort of like a gay icon now, and she's a musician who's been educating people about the gender stuff and being queer. And yeah, her, when we turned up to Indianapolis to see her, the crowd, we were standing in line and the crowd just looked amazing, as in people were dressed up like her music videos, you know, like a walking clit. Which is one of her music videos, and there was, we sat in front of a grandma with her transitioning son, who was, or daughter into son, you know, grandchild. Yeah, and that's how they describe themselves. This is my grandma. I'm 13, and, you know, and I'm queer. And that's my hero, you know, Janelle Monáe. Such a neat person. So, yeah, that was awesome. And finally getting to meet Chaka Khan, or getting to see her perform with at Chicago, which was her native, which is the place that she was born and raised, I think, or as a musician. She was famous there first. But the person headlining was Lauryn Hill, so what a bonus. And the young ones were like, what do you mean, Chaka Khan? You know, Lauryn Hill's headlining this gig. I was like, oh, sorry about it.
Here's Rufus and Chaka Khan, Walking in the Sun.
Things have been going wrong long enough to know everything is right. I've been walking in the dark long enough to know I've finally seen the light. Been losing long enough to know when I find the one. And even a blind man can tell when he's walking in the sun.
That was Rufus and Chaka Khan, Walking in the Sun. You're listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space. Here's part two of the artist talk with Tuafale Tanoa'i.
But yeah, great thing. So I thought I matched it with Samantha, who's a black woman from New York who I met earlier this year. And when I was wearing my Chasing Chaka t-shirt, and she goes, what's that about? Anyway, she had an equivalent story of chasing Prince. And I went, I want that. So we met up the next day and she let me film her, which is on that.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so... and that is local person talking about Cuddy, so one of my new besties. So she is a local teacher at a local Māori school, talking Māori all the time. So it was nice to hear someone get excited in the space yesterday when she put the headphones on. She goes, she's talking about Matariki, you know, and I was like, yeah, cool, boom. you know. So I wanted to include that for that very reason, you know, because not many people have the privilege of, you know, getting a really cool verbal about, this is matariki, this is what it means to me. You know, so she's her and her school team are re-educating youth, you know, normal knowledge, which is rare in this country, because this education system that we have doesn't even acknowledge the history, the true history of this, you know. So, yeah, so the other people featured on the screen is Gloria Orlando, who I met spontaneously in Auckland when I saw a sign outside a Cuban cafe. There's only been one, I think. Anyway, there was a sign saying that a Cuban filmmaker was turning up with her film. So I hung around and got her, we made a date after she met me because I was one of the few Māori Pacific people in the room. She was being looked after by, I think, Latin-speaking or Spanish-speaking people from a university. And she was kind of like just being nice to them because they brought her over. And then as soon as she saw me, she goes, anything, anything. But I knew as soon as some of the Māori community that she would meet, that they would adopt her and look after her properly. So, yeah, so that was cool. So, yeah, she gifted a really cool story. And that was the first time anyone's ever called me a director or pushed me to do that. It's like, no, you direct me, you know. So, yeah, I was like, oh, okay then.
You just said, like, no. She gifted you a story. And like,
yeah, yeah.
And kind of your practice is described as storytelling as koha.
Yeah, so it's got to do, yeah, so that was the consolidating, storytelling as koha, consolidating community memories. I have a memory problem, so I won't remember this next week, this, what we're living through now. So hence the click-click and the camera work, because when I come across it in the future, I'll go, oh, okay, that was the physics room. But, you know, it's kind of that. So in the 80s, I woke up, didn't know what my name was. You know, but I was home, so I was lucky. I wasn't out somewhere random. I was home, so very safe. And it's taken, it took me, what, the best of maybe 15 years before I actually admitted that I couldn't, like, you know, friends that I've known for 20 years, I couldn't introduce you to my friend who's known me all my life kind of memory. So total blank. So, yeah, so this, I suppose, the chronic documenting is linked to that. Building a memory, but lots of people talk about how I was documented long before then anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so I spent, like I had two friends find me on my porch the first day I left my room. So I spent a year, or I thought it was a year, best part of learning how to talk again, watching American TV, which I thought was crap, but it taught me English, and I had to, you know, grapple with that before I left the safety of my house. Mum used to leave me plates of food because, you know, it was obvious that there was something wrong, but they didn't know what to do about that. So anyway, we got through it. Some local friends found me and they went, everyone thinks you're in Wellington or cruising around the country, like, you know, and I was like, really? And anyway, they went, we'll come back. They took me down, they gathered some friends who lived down in the neighbourhood, but they basically told me what my life was, according to them. Hated my school friends. You know, it was really interesting hearing that. Hearing, you know, they says, look, stay in your room, look at through all the photos, and there's tons of magazines and, you know, like everything, records. It's like, right, you're a DJ, you're a something, you're a, you know. I was like, wow. Okay, you hate my friends. It's like, yeah, they treat you like shit. You know, we don't like watching that. It's like, oh, they buy me clothes, they feed me, you know? They do what friends do. Anyway, yeah, so it's taken a long time to sort of be confident and it's okay that you can't remember shit, you know?
Yeah. And because part of the resonance that you're saying is, I mean, you created this new footage with people that you've met down here and people that you've known before, but also, like Tanya, you know Tanya from
the 90s.
The 90s,
here in Wellington. Yeah, who owned Pacific Underground.
Yeah.
Huge, huge. Because Pacific Theatre at the time, when they were, when they're still doing their stuff, is rare.
Yeah.
So I've been part of groups in Auckland that were the first team of Pacific poets, were the first team of theatre people, were the first team, you know, and I've documented it as someone with a camera. So,
And part of the other thing that you wanted to do in the residency was go back through your archives. I mean, like, there's...
Well, yeah.
How much material is there?
There's tons. So I'm really happy. I mean, it's taken me a long time to engage with social media. Like, it took my friends, 5 years of waiting for me to, like, get a Facebook page and stuff. And I thought, but even to post, like, I used to make a big deal of, nah, I don't like anything I shoot on in public spaces, you know, because I don't get permissions, you know. Yeah, but it's kind of the way the world's turning. It's like everyone's, like, doing selfies and, you know, which I had a huge problem with and for a long time. But, it's kind of, it's a nice place to put stuff, you know, basically Facebook. For me, anyway.
Yeah.
Apparently, Instagram's better, but I'm like, oh, I spend so long on Facebook, and then Instagram's another. I don't have 50 hours in one day, you know, to be on a gadget or on a computer, because I don't have time to edit. So, you know, I mean, I won't talk about the poster. It's like, I've never turned anything over that quickly. And normally, you know, I'd spend a week and make it look perfect to me. But I just thought, oh, it's got to be up tomorrow. I just got to say stop. And then once my eyes went, I, you know, and when I saw the print, I nearly cried yesterday. I just saw so much mistakes. And I thought, nah, that's all I had time for. People need to know some of the wonderful people that are talking on the screens, and that gives you an instant, oh, yeah, they look interesting maybe, kind of stuff. So I just wanted something, an instant glance, because it's common that when you've got, like, screens and stuff to watch, it's common that people can't stay. It's kind of, like, overwhelming. It's like, what do we do, you know, kind of stuff. So,
can you talk a little bit more about the idea of koha as storytelling, as koha and exchange?
I told them beforehand I tend not to answer questions. my master's project was called Storytelling as Koha, Consolidating Community Memories. So that's all about my life, but... the koha part is about people gift me their time, and I gift the works back to them eventually, is the thing.
Eventually.
You know? Well, now that I'm building my team, I'm looking forward to that happening in a more obvious way and quickly. I mean, I can only manage to get whatever I can get on public spaces quickly. Because nowadays, I didn't used to sleep. Like, at uni, I didn't sleep, so I could film last night's gig, you would see it on a screen 6 hours later because I didn't sleep. I processed everything instantly and it's there on one of my TVs. So I did that constantly, like every day, every other day, for like 3 years, 5 years solid.
Wow.
So I was like the local news, is how some of my critiques, people would, they'd be really impressed, but they didn't realise that I didn't sleep. I haven't slept in 5 days kind of stuff. It's when I start talking gibberish, then you kind of go, what day is it? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Right. I'd say something, and they'd go, when did you last sleep? And I'm like, I slept yesterday, Sunday. And they're like, it's Thursday today. What the hell, T? You know? And I'm like, oh, okay, then maybe I'll go to sleep. Maybe I'll walk off and do something else. But basically, the needing to turn up with my camera, document, it was important. Mm-hmm. So I've got a big team of friends, and at the time, there wasn't a lot of photographers documenting, and there is now, thank God. Just in the Pacific artist space, there's now half a dozen of us, so I can totally step back and not even turn up to things. So for a couple of years, I was upset that people would continually say, none of us even bother bringing our cameras or even turn up with our phones to take photos because we know you're going to be there. And I thought, what if I'm not there, you know? And I thought, whoa, that's nice to know that you know, that's my job, that, you know, that I do anyway. So I started easing off so other people could step in because I just thought, that's been me since the 80s. I've been the only person with a camera in my circle, you know, and I thought that's a bit too much pressure. You know, and I'm like, I'm old now. I want to do other things. I'd rather DJ, you know, because that's more fun.
Here's Adija, e ipo. That was Arija e Ipo. You're listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space. Here's part three of the artist talk with Tuafale Tanuai.
Can you talk about Dance Art Club?
Oh, Dance Art Club, what a wonderful collective. So we exist because the younger ones in my team, which is the other three, they saw school as boring. And they thought, oh,
art school
at AUT. And like we did, lots of us artists, because we were allowed to be there 24/7, so I was there all the time. And so, yeah, the young ones moaning about not enough excitement or something. Anyway, so we created ourselves as an art collective and started putting on pop-up shows. And so because I was in the master's zone, and I have a habit of creating a kitchen, food for people come eat, you know, because none of us could afford the $5 sandwiches in the neighborhood, not every day, and the coffee. So I'd always make a point of feeding, you know, having food available for people who wanted to eat. Dance Art Club put on events, invited tons of people, anyone, everyone. If you want to be part of our group show, you're welcome. And it was funny how the tutors were like, yous are doing this just to party in the space, you know, kind of stuff. And it was so wrong. But it did look like a party. It sounded like a party. But we would, you know, I would swear, because I'm not a liar, that hell no, this is art. But yeah, it involved like everything that happened last night. People, alcohol, music. Yeah, and so we took it to a certain level of, it got to the stage where when we left university, we were getting booked as an art collective to either start exhibitions, you know, be invited to do a one-off show, knowing that we were going to feed people, knowing that we were the music. You know, it was kind of, we worked it out after a couple of years that I think the art community are using us. We're saving them huge budget things, because, you know. Yeah, so that was funny. And so we started being a lot more proactive and deciding that we're going to do whatever. Yeah, our website's full of stuff, yeah. So... yeah, we've done a ton of things. So.
And you did the Guinness
World Record? Yes, yeah. We did. So, oh my God, that was okay. So that took, I was 6 months on a diet, because you know, and I just thought, well, I'm someone who could stay awake for 5 days nonstop. That's, you know, the record at the time I think was 7 days.
Wow.
You know, but the guy who had it, he did it in a bar. He did it in a bar, and I thought, that's so unfair, because that meant he could drink any time and he could smoke, because, you know, because I do both. So, yeah, so I thought, oh, he's, you know, of course he's going to be the winner. But he tried to become he kept asking me to be his Facebook friend, and I shouldn't do that with my camera rolling. Yeah. Anyway, refused. Everyone thought that was funny. But, yeah, so we had a team of, we needed a team of like 6 people and a dancer the whole time. So I was banking on 9 day, resetting it to a 9 day, you know, Guinness World thing. But yeah, I was really cocky about it because it was kind of my dream. So, you know, when me and my friends at primary school, that was our favourite book, the Guinness World Record book, that every year. We're like, where is it? How are we going to get ourselves in here, you know? So when I mentioned that to the collective, they were like, well, you DJ team. So we officially applied and we went for it. And yeah, it was really nice having strangers turn up and sign up for, yeah, we'll be on the panel. You know, yeah, we'll come dance. So we had an official dancer, but anyone could just turn up and dance. But I didn't read the rules properly and realised that about playing music, you weren't allowed to pick from the same CD or same album.
What?
Like, I didn't realise that, but not that I was. Not within a 4-hour bracket. So I had, like, 2,000 album CDs from 3 different people, 3 different people's collectives, thank goodness. But I had records. We had a really good time.
Yeah.
It was funny having being shadowed, because I got stressed out sort of, I think, in the middle of day 2, where, oh, can I have a wine? My team were like, tea, one glass of alcohol, and this isn't even in the rules, it was our rules that they were making up as a win long, because, you know, they're like, if tea starts drinking, what then? We're going to sort it, you know, I was like, it's so unfair. Like, I'm an old person, come on, let me have a glass. But you know, I was lucky that I was allowed outside for a cigarette, you know, basically.
Wow.
Because they had to follow me and make sure I don't, you know, go off for a sneaky glass of wine or something in the neighborhood. Because basically, you play for an hour, earn 5 minutes off. So I played for 6 hours and get, I banked 30 minutes. But it got to a stage where I could go to sleep for 40. You know, because I banked an hour and a half. And so, you know, by day 2, it's like, you can have a nap. You want a nap? Because, if I have a 10-minute nap, a power nap, or a 20-minute power nap, because we did all this research, so, you know, and it works. So, we made it work. So, I'd have a 40-minute nap, wake up, and I'm good for the next 3 days, you know. But when we finally pulled the plug, it was because I was angst a little bit. But I was doing things like standing off stage and talking to a friend. And, you know, this may have been day 2 or day 3. And I'd say, gee, who's DJing? That music's about to go, you know, finish, you know. And the person beside me was like, you're the DJ. You know, I'm like, oh, shit. You know, and there was a time when I was having a conversation and there was a team of art people there and someone asked me a question and I totally said something, totally nothing. And it was obvious that I wasn't all there. And all I remember the person saying out loud to lots of people, go get Ahi, who was my number one assistant for that 8 hours. So they did everything in blocks. As people that came to the show, you weren't allowed in the space for more than 4 hours at a time. Even if you walked out the door and then came back in and then you're, you know. I mean, I was thinking, how do you fucking keep tabs on all that? But we basically had a web camera recording everything. So that was the evidence for Guinness World officials.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was big. It was big. So when we called it quits, it was because I got a bit verbally. And then we kicked straight into a party to celebrate.
Here's Visions by Angie Stone.
Giving me that same old vibe. Yeah, you got that something, something, baby. You know you rub me the right way. But we've been down this road. You took me for a ride. You left me stranded. I got over it and I got on with my life. Now where? Treated that way, so I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get the hell out of you, 'cause I'm not coming back to you.
That was Visions by Angie Stone. You're listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space. This is the fourth and final part of the artist talk with Tuafale Tanoa'i.
It was funny. So everyone was encouraged, whoever was in the space, because it ranged from you know, the panel, as well as maybe five people, just dawdled in, you know, to 100 people, you know, to a full pack, you know, because sometimes when I noticed there were people who'd been drinking, who had come after exhibition openings and stuff, and they were kind of keen to carry on partying, you know, when I noticed that there was, you know, because some people would bring family, you know, and we didn't encourage it, but some people would come up with their kids. And so I just think, because I think about people's safety, I decided when all the partiers turned up to play all these slow jams, to get rid of them all. So I did like a half hour set to empty the space and to make it re-safe for everyone and, you know, for families, you know. And as soon as they left, I was like, right, here we go. Here are the bangers. Yeah, and it was so cool because lots of people were watching from the online website feed. You know,
have you ever done that before as a DJ? Kill the dance floor intentionally?
No comment. Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing I worried about, the safety of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, I can talk stupid people away, but
yeah.
I was concerned about my team, them not, you know, them kind of, oh, this person who's on, you know, just, yeah. So I've got that kind of community experience because as ex-community worker / youth worker for decades. So, yeah. But, yeah, what a fun thing. What a fun gig. So I spent 2 years after that thanking people by supporting individual gigs because they came to support us. Because it was a whole lot of strangers that turned up. And some people who lived in the neighbourhood of Art Space, they were saying, we lived here for like ages. We've never walked up those stairs, you know, until that moment, until that group show happened. And yeah, so people, lots of people still talk about it. Yeah. I'd love to do it again, but Dance Art Club's got this rule about no repetition. And I was like, damn, because I was so
you
disappointed.
You could just tweak the rules like a little bit this time. Yeah, in a
so
way.
Disappointed we couldn't, that we didn't win, we didn't break it. And like the team were like, T, we were never going to break it. That wasn't the intention. You know, I'm like, oh, to you lot, it wasn't what I was totally serious about. It. You know, and so I should have been. You know, because I discouraged my family from coming, clocking in. I went, nah, wait till day five. Don't come in the first few days because everyone else can, you know, do the work. Anyway, that was a bad call on my part. I got such an ear bashing after when they realised we totally missed out on supporting properly, you know. I'm like, oh, well. But, yeah.
And we've got an event coming up at the end of the month, which is a fashion, dance event, DJ event.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the 27th.
Yeah.
And across the road, yay. With, so when one of my friends found out that I was going to be here for 3 months, she offered to come and put on a fashion show, and I'm like, oh, really? She goes, that's a long time, T, and Matariki, and, you know.
Yeah.
And she makes me these. Oh. So, yeah, so I thought, oh, okay, I'll book you a seat then. And we'll talk about what, you know, what you're expecting to do. So she's presently, I think, in France, maybe. But yeah, so Janine Clarkin is her name. But I was keen on meeting up with a local friend. His name is Stephen Park. And so, yeah, he's locked in to do something cool. You know, love that man. So many talented.
And I'm just thinking about those people that you're bringing into the... into that fashion show and the kind of exchange that you're doing, like Janine makes you those, your gear, she's coming down to
support you. Yeah, so, I don't know, lots of people do things for lots of reasons, I mean.
Are the people in the new videos here?
Yeah, they're new, very new, to, except for Tanya and Sam, who's the woman in red and got a red thing. Mm-hmm. But she's a friend from the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. From my old life before I lost my memory. So, yeah. So it's been awesome. But Tanya's been someone who's, since I met her in PU, had been really supportive. She wears my badges around. I mean, you know,
she's got one on there, right?
LT.
That T, is that?
Oh, yeah, that's my sort of sticker thing. But I make... like I do a run of maybe a dozen badges, you know. She's one of them who actually wears it out in public. You know, so yeah. Yeah, okay. So thanks.
No,
thanks,
thank people. You. Thank you, Tuafale. Thanks,
visit the Physics Room at Worcester Boulevard, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday to Friday, and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. The Physics Room is generously supported by Creative New Zealand, Christchurch City Council, the Rata Foundation, Three Boys Brewery, Scientech, Resine Paints, and the Crater Rim. We'll leave you with two more tracks. The first is from Tere Moana Rapley, Beautiful People, and we'll finish with Earth, Wind and Fire's That's the Way of the World.
days.
Wow.
Future past, they disappear. So I don't hesitate, 'cause the worst seems gone.
That was Earth, Wind and Fire, That's the Way of the World. Thanks for listening to the first episode of Art, Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space. Mā te wā!